Galatians chapter 5, and I'll explain shortly what's happening here. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict to each other. So, you do what you do not want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the word of our Lord. Now, again, I need to explain this. There are a few people in this church that hasn't been here for the last 5-6 months. So I've been working on the book of Galatians, and we started off with Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. And that's where we are now, in chapter 5. And I've been busy now with this section for quite a while. This is my third sermon, and I'm using the same scripture because we are actually looking at all these different words, because there's a reason why Paul gave this to us. So I was sort of in a predicament, because it's now Mother's Day. And I thought, should I now go and try and find a different scripture? And I thought, no, that's not where I need to go. I will just stick to what I need to do today. And I think as we continue, you will discover that there's something in for us on this Mother's Day, also in what I'm going to do and share with you today. So, again, I need to say this again. That's the base of the sermon. That's the base of this whole topic. Remember now what Paul is saying to all of us, that there are two huge forces playing out in your life every day. One hand, you've got your human nature. That's like gravity. That's the thing that wants to overwhelm everything. Gravity keeps you to the ground. Doesn't want you to move really anywhere without some effort. So your natural way of behaving is the sinful one. That's what we want to do. The wrong thing, in a way. We want to protect ourselves and do just what's the best for me. Paul says, but then there's another force. And that's the force that God has given us. That's to live in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will help you and me to be what God wants us to be. That is not that easy. To live in the Spirit, it's like flying a helicopter. And we had a small helicopter here a few weeks ago that actually flew in the air, and it was a great thing to see. But for that thing to fly, it had to be designed to be able to fly. God designed us not to be stuck. God designed us to have a much better life than you and I sometimes have by just allowing human nature to control us. But this takes an effort from us. But you and I need to make then certain choices and need to decide, but I'm not going to allow human nature to control me. I'm going to fly. I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and therefore I need to have control over my life in the sense that I need to say to myself, I can't just let myself go. Now, the reason why Paul is doing this, and this is very important, is because he wants to share with us this freedom. What is the reason for God's involvement in our lives? God wants to be involved in your life and my life that we can have a good life. You know, there are a lot of people that think that God is a one that is a party spoiler. God wants to take away your joy. It's so boring to be a Christian. You know, I've told the story before. This little girl who saw a donkey, and she asked the dad, Dad, is the donkey a Christian? The dad said, why are you asking me this question? She said, because the donkey looks so sad. And sadly, that's true. So many people thought that being a Christian means that you have this boring, stupid life. I find a completely different thing in my Bible. I find a God that wants us to have an amazing life. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the things that He gives us. But within the freedom of the protection of His will. It's like driving your car. Enjoy your car, but if you are outside the law, if you don't comply to the rules of the road, you may get hurt. That's what God is saying. I've given you this life. Enjoy the thing, but there are rules. Paul comes back and he says, well, I know that this is not going to be that easy, because we are tied to this human nature of ours. It's like gravity that holds you. And many times it happens to Christians in the church that we make choices that brings us down, like that helicopter that had a hard landing. And it crashes us in a way we struggle to get going again. And that's okay, but we need to learn also from our faults. We need to learn from the mistakes that we have made. And Paul comes now and he says, and therefore as a congregation, I need to share with you dangers, things that you now need to be careful of, because those things will again enslave you. And the moment when you are enslaved, you lose your freedom and you can't be or do what God has called you to do and be. And then he gives us this list of names. And these list of names we can build up into four categories. On the one hand, we talked about this a long time ago, 3 weeks ago. We talked about sexual choices, wrong sexual choices. We talked about the occult. We started about that last week. And then today we're going to talk mostly about this one. And then I don't think we'll get to sobriety, but we'll see how far we get. So last week I started with the occult and we talked about idolatry. And idolatry has to do with making anything in your life more important than God. Anything. In a way, your life is determined by something else and not God. Today, witchcraft. Now, heck, man, this is really a wrong topic for a Mother's Day. maybe in the Middle Ages this would have worked, but not in this day of age. So for a moment, I thought to myself, Ferdy, what are you doing? But okay, we'll scoot through this real quick and we'll get to the stuff that I really want to talk to you about. What's the problem with this? There are two things that people want in this life. Control and knowledge. You want to control your environment. You want to control people. You want to control circumstances. Where I'm from in South Africa, there's the black mana and the white mana. And mana is an African word then for this power. They would go to witch doctors. They would get all kinds of stuff so that they can control the life of someone else that they think is an enemy or someone else that they want to serve them or whatever. And they will have these dolls. They will have all kinds of stuff. And witch doctors are a big thing in my country. They want control. But that's not that applicable to us here in America, is it? No. But we have different ways of doing exactly the same thing. So I have this lucky charm. And I believe if I have this lucky charm on my car, I won't get into an accident. That is witchcraft. I have the lucky charm around my neck, and I believe if I wear this thing, it will protect me from some kinds of stuff. That's witchcraft. Because I'm actually allowing something, the power that God should have in my life. And I've had many people in my life say, well, you need to be careful of this and that, and this is the thing that I need to hang on to. The thing that you and I need to hang on to is your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself that can provide for you the protection that you need. There was this tennis player that would never step on a line. How can you play tennis without stepping on a line? Don't understand that thing. You know, that he looked like a dancer more than he tried to play tennis. Because he believed if he stepped on the white line, that would be bad luck. That's witchcraft. That's not what my Bible teaches me. The second thing is knowledge. We want to know. I want to know about tomorrow. I want to know what I should do. I want to understand a little bit better. So last Saturday, it ended up, we've got friends from South Africa visiting us, and we were at a market in Winter Garden, and the farmer's market thingy. And there I saw this tent, and there was this woman, not this one, another one sitting in there. And she would read your future for you, palm reading, or I don't know what reading she wanted to do. And when I came to Orlando, I heard about, is it Talladega? What's this down here? Talladega is the place where you drive cars. Casadega, that's the thing, that town. I was amazed how many people innocently told me that they've been to someone to tell them their future. I was amazed when a few people in our church 10 years ago when I came, 13 years ago, sort of just referred or mentioned to me, well, I also have gone to one of these places. I would say, why would you go? Well, I want to know. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire. That was a sacrifice that was part of the pagan rituals. Who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spirit, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. If you sit in this church today and you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in God, then you must also believe in angels. And you must believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. And then you must know that there is something like the devil. And there is something like evil spirits. And there are all of these bad things that the Bible talks about, and that it's real. As a Christian, you and I never need to fear these things, because in Jesus Christ we've got a victory that Christ has bought us, has given us. But the Bible is very clear, and Paul says this time and time again, that there are certain doors, like that door that's closed there now, that's a good door. But there are certain doors out there that you and I should not go and knock on. Stay away from playing Ouija board. Stay away from things that this Bible tells us not to go and mess with. Because the moment when I knock on a door like I'm doing now, if I knock on this door, why do I do this? I knock on the door because I want the person on the inside to open the door for me, isn't it? It's stupid just to knock on a door and run away. We did that, but that was stupid. Okay. But normally you ring a doorbell or you knock on a door because you want to access the place. What the Bible tells me is that if you and I go and mess with this stuff, we are knocking on a door that you and I do not want to have opened for us. When I was at seminary, one of our professors called me in one day. He said, I need to talk to you. And I sat down. I thought I was in trouble. He said, he's given us a lot of tasks in the class. And he called me and he said, I want you to do a paper on the occult. The paper had to be like 38 type pages. It was a huge thing. He said, the reason why I'm calling you in, I want to tell you, Ferdy, how dangerous a task I'm giving you. And I'm telling you today, these are the references that you're going to use. This is what you're going to do. You will not go deeper. He said, the moment when you enter this world, you will want to go deeper. Don't go there. In my studies, and I wrote this paper, I discovered things that made my hair stand out straight, and they were true. Not stories. I learned about people that got possessed. I learned about people that lost their total freedom because they started messing with things that's going on in Casadega and other places. Don't go there. If you want to know, pray. Read your Bible. The Lord will guide you. He will give you the knowledge that you need about life and about your future. Now that's enough about witchcraft. Okay, we're done now with that. So now we can talk about neighborly issues. So the third section that Paul addresses has to do with our neighbor. So who's your neighbor? Now don't think about the guy living next to you. I'm not talking about him or her. My neighbor is just sitting there at the back and he just lives on the other side of my house. That's not the neighbor Paul is talking about here. The neighbors that Paul is talking about are the people in the congregation. Who were the congregation? Those were people that were part of families. They didn't meet in a church as nice as ours. They met in a house, and they were probably like a small group, 4, 5, 8 families meeting together. Why would Paul write to a congregation about hatred? Because Paul knew this is one of the things that brings people down, that makes people lose their freedom. Now, I know most of you sitting in this church will probably not say to me, Ferdy, but I hate someone. Maybe if somebody really caused you a lot of harm, you may use that word. But what I have found in my work with people, there's a different word that we use that's much softer but means exactly the same thing. Resentment. Resentment. Do you know how many people I've had in my office where the husband would say to me or the wife would say to me, I resent my husband. I resent my wife. I resent this person or that person. Even my mother. I've heard a person say to me once, I resent my parents. And that may happen Because we are surrounded by evil. And sometimes there are evil people around us that may cause us so much harm that you can't really be in the presence of that person anymore. That's true. But what do I do if I'm harmed and hurt by someone that's so bad? I need to let go and let God do what God can do the best, and He will take care of that person. The problem with hatred, the problem with resentment is that it eats you up alive. It's like a cancer pill that you are taking every day. It's taking your joy away, and the person that you resent doesn't even know it. That person continues with his or her life, not thinking about you, and your day is miserable, your life is miserable because you sort of hate this person for what this person has done to you, and you lose your freedom. You are still controlled by someone else that doesn't even think about you. And that's the worst possible thing that can happen to you. Being controlled by an outside person that you ignore, that you don't have contact with, doesn't even know your suffering. And that's why Paul is talking about this. Paul says if people really have caused you so much harm and pain and suffering in your life, you need to let go at some point. You and I can't always control all evil. You can be the best possible Christian. You will not be able to stop evil entering your life. I had a personal experience many years ago where I really tried my best with a certain specific situation. And someone said to me, this person called me and said, Ferdy, you need to stop this now. You can't do a Christian thing to a non-Christian person because that person will come back to you and bite you every single time. I thought, I'm so cute. This guy's going to eventually turn around. Everything I did in the name of Christ, biblically, perfectly correct, came back to cause just more harm and more pain. I had to let go, to let God do what God can do. Let go means at some point to step away from people that causes you too much evil. Unchristian people. Unbiblical people. Remember now, these Christians were surrounded by people that hated them, that wanted to kill them on a daily basis. They were surrounded by people that enslaved them, that killed their children and their neighbors because they were persecuted horribly. At some point, I need to say, God will take care of these people. It's not my calling, not my task to fill my life with so much darkness because of them. But then there's the second part of resentment. The one where the evil is not that bad and where it needs to be addressed. And that's what Paul is talking about. Paul says, how is it possible that two Christian people in the same house can have resentment against one another? Paul says, in a way, this needs to be addressed in a biblical way because that is what God has called us to do. God has called us to resolve our issues in such a way that our life is an example to the world that the church is different. That we are different. More and more people will be a part of this place if they can see that we live a life that reflects the glory of God, the grace of God, and the power of God. But if we look like the people outside, they don't care for us. And that's the crisis of the church. We say we believe. We say that we believe that God knows the best, but we don't live as people that believe that this God actually knows the best. You see, it's so much easier to just sit in church and listen to a sermon than to go home and face your spouse. To face your spouse and say, we need to work this out. To face your child and say, we need to work this out. To face your mother or your father or your family member or your neighbor and say, we need to work this out. To do a godly thing and not a human nature thing. Our human nature thing is to ignore that person, to say, I'm done, and not even try. The human nature thing is to say, I'm more important than anything else and just do my thing. And what is the reflection that we portray to the world? Darkness, not goodness. That's now enough of that, I think. And Paul knows this. Now, Paul was not stupid. Paul lived with these people. Paul knew that part of the problem within the church and part of a problem within a family is this. People yelling at one another. People getting angry at one another. There's this constant argument going on sometimes between couples and between family members, children and their parents. What's the core of this? Human nature. And what is human nature? Human nature is that most selfish thing in this world that all of us are born with, that I'm the most important person in this world. It's all about me. What I want, how I see it, what I need. I've had so many people in my life say to me, Ferd, it's now time for me to think about me. And I would say to that person, that's the worst thing you can say. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. You can't only say, it's now time to think about me. And you need to say, it's time to think about me, but also the people around me, because your life will connect with so many other people. There's this constant connection between you and others, and whatever movement you make will have an effect on others. And if both people in the relationship that they are in understand this, then this may be less. Will we stop to quarrel? Will we stop to have arguments? No. There's no perfect relationship. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect family. That doesn't exist in this side of the grave. But it can be better. And the problem with this, it causes eventually people to drift apart. It causes that people start to ignore one another, and they live in the same house, and they have this show of it's an okay kind of family, but there's nothing between the couples anymore because they've lost their total intimacy. That can be true. And this intimacy has nothing to do with sexual connection. This has to do with a connection that needs to exist between people, that they can have fun together. They can be friends together. This needs to be between parents and children also, this intimacy. But we fill up our lives with arguments. And what do? I want to yell my voice into this person's head, hoping that he or she will change. And it never works. The problem with an argument is you seldom stay on topic. You start off with A and you end with Z. And nothing gets resolved. And eventually your life looks like a landmine field. If your life is like a landmine field and nothing is resolved, you can't live there, you can't play there, you can't have fun there. It's too dangerous to walk around because you are being blown up time and time again, because there's a new conflict, a new explosion, a new conflict, a new explosion. And eventually all of these things need to be resolved. It can only be resolved if both parties are extremely patient with one another. We will get to the fruit of the Spirit. Not today, maybe in a few weeks, but we'll get there. But with kindness, with patience, with love, we can resolve our issues. And you can have the best Mother Day in your life if there's no argument again at home about where are we going to eat, who's going to pay the bill, who's going to do the laundry, who's going to... That's what we argue about. Paul says, what does the world see? If we can't resolve our issues in a biblical way, talking to one another in a way that God wants us to do this. The third one, you see, they start young, man. Men. Oish. Yeah. Later on in that list, you'll find another word, envy. Now, it's very interesting. In the Greek, these are two separate words. Jealousy and envy aren't the same word in Greek. And especially if these two words are used in the same sentence, sort of, or in the same section, as Paul did it here. Jealousy in this context means then to lose someone, to try to protect someone that you have in your life. And envy has to do with losing something or allowing others to have something that you do not have. But I'll get to that at some point. Let's talk about jealousy real quick. And I don't want to talk about this too much. A destroyer of relationships, this thing is. Completely. And there are two reasons for this. The one is because the person that you are in a relationship with, you can't trust. That should not even be on the table. I can understand when someone is jealous if the person that he or she is in a relationship with is untrustworthy. And you need to let go of that person. Leave that person and go. Because if a person cheats on you constantly, it's going to destroy your life. You can't have such a person in your life because you don't have any security. And a person without security is a person that can't move to the next level. And that's, sorry, now a little bit psychology here. But Maslow said the most basic thing that all of us need is food and water. And that's very true. And the research has shown that he was correct in his understanding of life. The second level that you and I need on a daily basis is security. If you are stuck in a security level, you can't get to the third level, and the third level is to belong to have a relationship, and a good relationship. So if you have someone that compromises your security constantly, you won't be able to have an intimate relationship with that person. It's impossible. Now, I know there will be a lot of yelling and arguing when that happens, but at some point you need to walk away from it. You can't have someone in your life you trust walk away from that person. But there's a second leg in this. And that is that some people just can't trust anyone because they have in themselves a sense of insecurity. I've had stacks of people in my office saying to me, I can't live with this person anymore because I can't almost breathe because this person is constantly on me, not trusting me. And I promise you, I don't deserve this. And that's true. What causes jealousy? One word, insecurity. And that insecurity may lie in the actions of the other person. I've talked about that now. But that insecurity can also lie within yourself. And sometimes when your partner says to you, man or woman, you need to let go a little bit. You need to trust that person because it can destroy a relationship completely because of your own insecurity. And Paul knows this. And he knows that this can cause families to fall apart. And the moment when a family falls apart, then the devil wins and the church can't really function in the way that God wants it to function. Last one. I think I'm running out of time here. You can have the best argument. You can have everything on your side. If you lose your temper, you lose the argument. You lose the thing. You can have all the evidence that what has been done to you is wrong, and now you go to the customer care person sitting there, and you've got everything on your side, and you say, this is what you guys have done, and the moment when you say one wrong word, it's about the word you said, and suddenly you need to defend yourself, and you've lost the argument. Isn't that true? Paul is saying to his church, control yourself. God wants you to be free. God wants you to enjoy. God wants you to celebrate life. This takes away freedom. This takes away joy. This takes away the life that God really wants you to have. And all of this has to do with giving us a life that's okay, that God wants us to have. But my human nature is one that will flash up. And the word in Greek is like here, it's like a small explosion that and then it's gone. But after this has happened, what is the collateral damage? If you let a bomb go off, it's not like a house fire, it burns for a day or a few hours. If you have a bomb go off, the destruction is amazing and it's gone. And everybody says, what happened here? Because you can only see brokenness. And the thing that caused it is suddenly now gone. Paul says, be careful that you are not a walking weapon of mass destruction by fits of rage. Because you won't see it, but you destroy as you explode. Fight your human nature and live the life that the Spirit of God wants to give you and me, and that's a spirit filled with love, with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with self-control. These are the spirits, the fruits of the spirits that you and I will talk about a little bit later. But that's what God wants us to do and to have, because then you and I will serve one another, serve God, and serve His kingdom. Amen. I'm so sorry I'm not getting through this as quickly as I want to. I wanted to have done all of these things today, but we'll continue next week. So, commercial break. 1 week commercial break, then we'll continue again with what we need to do.